May God the Father bless you.
Wait, the speakers are on.
Fuck me.
I know. We're okay.
May God the Father bless you. God the Son heal you. God the Holy Spirit give you strength. L'chaim.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, obviously.
How you doing there, Nasal?
I'm fine. I maybe was sick. For like 24 hours. I'm done being sick now. Thank you.
I think you believe... You say, I never get sick, and you say that as you're sick, that I think you really believe you never get sick, because you just say you don't.
I don't get sick. I'm like, pissed off that I would ever get sick.
When's the last time you were not sick?
I don't remember the last time I was sick. Do you remember the last time I was sick?
It's not such in a blue moon.
It is. I mean, you can't remember. I can remember the last time you were sick.
When's the last time I was sick?
It was within the last 6 months. You might have been sick twice within the last 6 months.
All right.
Yeah, January you were sick, for sure.
What makes you admit that you're sick? Because runny nose and sneezing and coughing doesn't make you admit it.
I don't know. I really didn't until I had you forced me to take medicine.
And you think I tried to drug you and kill you?
Well, I don't think medicine is necessary. No, the only thing that I'm okay with taking medicine is because I have to hurry up and get well. But I hate... Like, I feel like it's... I don't know, it's giving up, it's letting my body down. I feel like me being sick is me being weak. It's just like a whole thing of bad stuff that I don't agree with.
Like you're cheating in a race.
Not like I'm cheating, like, it's not necessary, just let it happen. But now I'm trying to race my body to hurry up and get better. Because we have shit to do. I didn't do anything today. It feels like shit, you know? I didn't do anything today.
Is this something your parents taught you?
I don't think so. I mean, my mom didn't believe we were sick unless we were, like, on the floor about to die. So maybe.
Did she have medicine in the house? Like, moms have all the medicines in the house?
I don't know. Yeah, we definitely had medicine.
Is she a doctor mom that recommended anything?
She's really good at knowing what's real, what's not, and when it's time to give the medicine or not give the medicine.
Is medicine, like, medicine from Rite Aid or Yemenite meat soup?
Or what?
Yeah, you know, like they know to cook the right thing.
I can't remember, but I think it could be that medicine was the last resort, and she would send us to school if we had like a slight thing, so we'd have to like really, really be sick in order to get out of school. Like I remember, I don't know why this one stays in my head, but me and my older brother were really, really sick when we came home from school one time, and I ended up throwing up that night, and she's like, well. You're fine now. You can go to school the next day because that releases whatever it is that was wrong.
Oh, wow.
And then I went to school the next day.
I'd get out if I had vomit.
No, but it was a stomach thing. So once you vomit, you're okay. So she can tell. She could tell that we were fine. And I was fine. It got rid of everything. I was fine. I went to school.
If you feigned being sick the next day, would she be able to
tell?
She
can tell everything. We could not get out of school unless there was like a serious thing.
Right.
She believed in, like, you know, like not being in school is a huge deal. School's open, we're there. If like, other people, I don't know, they start coughing, they maybe have a sneeze or two, and they're out of school, and there's no way I can get away with that.
Because in American school, you learn things. So you had to take advantage of it.
Well,
that's
my mom...
different, too. That's why they came here, you know, for a better life, and now you're going to act like you're sick. How dare you?
My mom also, like, she was of the mentality. It's very old school that teachers are always right, you know. So if the teacher called, it's like, what'd you do? You know, where some teachers, they're just dumb. And when we would come home and, you know, you see your fourth grader going, no, really, Mom, this teacher's dumb.
Right.
She's like, oh, nice try. She's a teacher for a reason, you know. But we knew, like, there were some teachers who, and yeah, every kid called every teacher dumb. But there were some teachers where, you know, like, you're just stupid. And she didn't realize this until she actually went to college here. That was just a few years ago. Like, really just, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And she was like, wow, some teachers are really just not, you know. Yeah. She's like, I think I've been giving teachers a little too much credit just because they have the title teacher. And all three of us, I know, when we heard that, we were like, finally.
Yeah, teachers are people and people are dumb. I remember getting back like a B on some kind of paper. And... it would say, excellent, very good, you have a great imagination. It's like, well, why wasn't it an A?
Mm.
You know? Now, maybe it was a math test and I had a great imagination. I don't know. Did your parents get mad And how old were you when you moved here?
I was four years old, yeah.
So you had all schooling over here in America, from Israel.
Yeah.
Were your parents upset when they found that you were learning colors? Is that like learning about evolution in Christian school?
No.
No? They didn't mind? It's like, it's all different shades of brown.
You know.
That didn't bother them? Okay, I'm just curious. Okay. Here's what we're going to start with today, by the way. A great, great story, very uplifting, about the death of stingrays.
These are the survivors. Just 9 cow-nosed stingrays remain of what used to be a school of 43. The animals were part of the Calgary Zoo's newest exhibit. But on Sunday afternoon, staff noticed the rays acting strangely, and within hours, most were dead.
To say people are saddened and shocked, it's kind of an understatement.
It's an understatement because I am not saddened or shocked. I'm thrilled and I'm happy.
Why are you happy about it?
I do not like stingrays. I don't know what they give us. They do not look like a meaty fish.
It is funny that people think that every creature has to be sustained.
Look at it.
Why would we need to save the stingrays? I mean, they should find out what's happening because they are a zoo. Do you think that what's that guy who died from this?
Steve Irwin.
Do you think Irwin's family is like, fuck you, stingrays, and just going around?
Yeah, good. I think it was a guy, somebody put a, I know what happened. Somebody went to the zoo and they put some kind of death pellet or bleach or something into the water and started killing stingrays, and good.
You normally and there can't was a time there, when we, though.
Huh?
You normally can't get to the animals, though, in the
zoo. Sure you can. You could touch them now, I learned.
You can?
I touched the stingray.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's this close to death.
You live on the edge daily.
Look at this animal. It's an animal where half its body is a knife. How is that going to go, that was a positive influence in my life. A fish where half of it's a knife. I don't have time for it. And it would have been nice if you go, remember that one person that killed by a stingray multiple times? A stingray jumped on a boat and startled a woman and killed her. Mind your fucking business. What were you doing on the boat? I gotta make a sandwich. There's no reason for stingrays. There's no reason for these disgusting animals.
Fui is saying, why is it that nobody gets upset about all the armadillos that are killed on the side of the road? I think I saw about 10 dead ones today. They could have been stingrays. Who cares?
And I see the point of that. You can, like, take that stuff off armadillos and make a house or something.
What?
You know? I mean, you could if you had to. I've been in Israel. They do it. Mud and armadillo skin. But there is no reason.
You are such a weirdo.
There is no reason for a stingray. No reason at all. Pirates of the water. I don't like them.
Reeling still.
Several of the rays were looking disoriented, flipping onto their backs, and not looking well.
It's highly unusual for so many animals to fall sick so quickly.
Yep.
There are now suspicions the water in the main tank may be to blame.
We do water quality checks daily on the tank. Our water quality checks yesterday were still within normal range. We're going to confirm those using an outside lab, so those are the first results we're expecting. We'll be doing toxicology tests, looking for a toxin, both in the water and in tissues from the rays that we lost.
Zoo officials tell us that on Sunday afternoon, within 3 hours, 26 stingrays were dead. And by Monday morning, another 8 had died overnight. At this point, officials say the cause of death is a mystery.
It's not a mystery.
You know what? That's got to be something.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's something. It's a vigilante that took the matter in his own hands. I don't like these knife fish, he said.
The stingray exhibit opened in Calgary in February, drawing thousands every day. It's now closed. While staff are trying to figure out what went wrong, they're also keeping a close eye on the few that survived.
They're still a little bit more slow than they would regularly be, but they have improved greatly since yesterday, so we're cautiously optimistic that they'll recover.
Yeah, so am I, but I'm cautiously optimistic that they fucking die.
Elisa from Chicago says, how can you tell a stingray isn't looking well? They're ugly fuckers to begin with.
They're so ugly. You turn it over, as a devil face on it. Not many people know that. They think what you see, the front, is the front. It's not. There's a face on the bottom. Of course it's angry. Picture living your life and all you can see is down always. You're not going to stab nobody? It's an abomination. It's okay to say God makes mistakes.
Do you think it's weird that people who like animals like the zoo?
They don't understand the cruelty involved in a zoo, I don't think.
I don't understand. Like, if they understand everything in an animal, these people talk like they can talk to animals and animals understand them.
Right.
But this, they can't comprehend.
They wouldn't be happier.
Like a zebra's there. What's a zebra doing there?
They wouldn't be happier that we took the glory of a bear and put it between a barbed wire and fed it bananas and made it a giant pussy.
Put a tutu on it.
Yeah. Just put a tutu on the lions.
He likes it. He likes it.
The proudest things in the jungle, we turned into pussies. I'm sure they're thrilled.
Well, these are people who feel like they can talk to it, like I said before. So they're like, look, he really likes it. It's like when my mom talks to my grandfather, and she's like, speak, say something. They're talking to animals like that.
I would make the animals watch the Nature Channel. Hey, that was you.
Oh, no.
Could have been. Could have been you. Just one you taking down 20 of them. Oh, well, banana.
We provide all the bananas they want.
Oh, don't worry. It's in paste form, lion.
I love how you decided they
eat banana
paste. Lions.
Everybody knows that.
Oh, okay.
Eat banana paste. Listen to this. Humans United Against Robots.com. This is another grave danger that we have ahead of us. Robots. And I appreciate everybody fighting the good fight. Don't forget, anytime you hear a radio show talking about robots and how good they are, just call in and talk about all the evil they're doing. My God, recently we were talking about how the military is using, you know, started to use robots, and the robots is starting to target humans, starts aiming at humans. They go, okay, let's stop this project. And at least they didn't work on it more. They said, okay, work on it for a couple years. Well, listen to this. The lights dimmed. The sold-out hall grew hushed, and out walked the conductor, shiny white and 4 feet 3 inches tall. Osimo, a robot designed by Honda Motor Company, met its latest challenge Tuesday evening, conducting the Detroit Symphony in a performance of The Impossible Dream from Man of La Mancha. That's how they're sucking us into this.
Do you think all
cute little things,
though, are now like, fuck, you know, they thought they were the ones who can't, you know, because a lot of jobs are being taken by computers and robotics and whatever. So now conductors are like, not me too.
Right. Hello, everyone, Osimo said to the audience in a childlike voice and then waved to the orchestra. A childlike voice, right? That's how you're going to introduce robots to us. Hi. You're
old.
You can't
hate me.
You're old. Where are your pills? Very good. As it conducted, it perfectly mimicked the actions of a conductor, nodding its head at various sections and gesturing with one or both hands. Osimo took a final bow to enthusiastic shouts from the audience. It is absolutely thrilling, it said, to perform with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. This is a magnificent concert hall. I can't wait till one day to kill you all. Later, cellist Yo-Yo Ma joined Osimo on stage to receive an award for his efforts in music education. Ma bent to Osimo's height and shook the robot's hand. Ma performed later on the program but didn't take questions from the media about Osimo. Honda spokeswoman Alicia Jones said it was the first time Osimo has conducted an orchestra, and it may be the first time any robot has conducted a live performance. Osimo stands for Advanced Step in Innovative Mobility. Osimo has its limits. It can't later not kill you. Osimo's engineers programmed the robot to mimic Charles Burke, the Detroit Symphony's education director, who later got fired because a robot can do it. I conducted the piece in front of a pianist about 6 months ago, but it can't respond to the musicians. You know why? Because it doesn't have a heart or a soul or feelings, and it won't care when you die.
Well, do you think this is one of the robots that can really do anything? I mean, they didn't give it a gun or anything, and it's pretty easy to program music into something.
It doesn't.
You're really just programming, you know, left hand up for this amount of beat and left hand, you know. You know what I mean?
He doesn't. He can acknowledge a person's in the room and that kind of thing. And all robots.
Are you sure? I think he was just nodding like, you know.
No, I'm positive.
The nod was, okay, let's program at this point in time.
No, I've seen video of this motherfucker.
This very one?
Yes.
This is just the next thing that he can do?
There's at least, I don't know if there's more than one, but I have seen video of this robot.
The Hyundai one?
Yeah, walking, running, recognizing somebody's in the room, stopping, talking to a person.
So the next step is giving him a gun and kill
him? You don't have to give him a gun. His job might be to heal robots. Robots can put other robots together. Robots are now able to put themselves together after they're busted. This robot, maybe his job is just to find batteries in your house and help other robots. They don't all have to be killers, you know? Some people are in charge of making the maps. During the first rehearsal, the orchestra lost its place when Osimo began to slow the tempo, something a human conductor would have sensed and corrected. It's not a communicative device. It simply is programmed to do a sense of gestures, says the orchestra's musical director. If the orchestra decides to go faster, there's nothing the robot can do about it. Hopefully I keep that under control. Honda made this, of course. Honda has been developing walking robots since 1986. The latest version of Osimo debuted last year. Honda eventually intends its robot to be companions for the elderly and others in need. Read the Bible book iRobot. That sounds familiar. Osimo can run, walk on uneven slopes, and respond to simple voice commands. It can also recognize faces with its camera devil eyes. Honda brought the robot to Detroit to highlight its recent $1 million gift to the orchestra for a music education fund. That's how you're getting us. With kid-like speech, cute little things, I'm doing an orchestra, and donations of $1 million. Watch out, people. Watch out. There's no reasons for the things these robots can do. I'm all for technology, but not when it comes to the robot community. If you're new to the show, again, humansunitedagainstrobots.com. Take a look around. You will not like what you find. Keep spreading the word.
How long do you think we have?
We're going to be on phase three soon.
No shit.
We're going to be on phase three soon. So look out.
I'm sorry I keep giggling at it. I just...
But giggle. Laugh. I'll still fight for you.
Thank you.
I hope people are laughing at the stingrays. That's not going to stop me from punching waves. Doesn't matter to me. We said yesterday about Sue Simmons, the anchorwoman for Channel 4 News here in New York. And you remember this. This is the tease on TV for the news to come later that night.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most.
The fuck are you doing?
I was putting together... It just keeps going with the music.
Like, pull plugs, people. Pull plugs.
Well, the music is the nicer part. Right. I was putting this together yesterday in the show because you took weird outtakes from a few different things. And I couldn't help, like, I know what's coming. And I laughed anyway because she didn't say, what the fuck are you doing? She said, the fuck are you doing? It was very, I don't know.
Why would you assume as soon as you're done, you know, save more at the grocery store. What the fuck? What? We're on? Why are we on? I said that period after grocery store. That's a full sentence.
I know. There wasn't any time, but the thing is...
You saw the teleprompter. You knew when I was done talking.
But I want to know what happened. Did some guy come behind her and go up her skirt? Because that would warrant a what the fuck are you doing?
Maybe Chuck Scarborough was rubbing her inner thigh or a crew member was about to boot the kid. Maybe she had her child on set and somebody was going to kick it down some steps. Other than that, I can't think of anything that justifies that.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most.
The fuck are you doing?
It seems so normal in day to day. It's so awesome.
Well, here at the New York Post in New York, they're really trying to make her look like a fool. And they tried to put all the clips that prove that she's actually a drunk. On January 13th of 2007, Sue Simmons takes a tumble next to co-anchor Perry Peltz while suffering through a tedious commentary by Brian Williams. When I was looking for this clip of Sue Simmons that we just played, I saw this clip. And
of her falling?
Brian Williams was trying to make a joke, and it was a very boring joke. And she acted like she fell asleep and fell off the chair. It was a joke she was making. Funny or not, she didn't fall down because she was drunk or tired.
It's not very nice, though. That's your coworker.
The coworkers, everybody's picking on each other.
Okay.
In February 1st, 2008, Sassy Sue delivers her best groundhog impression on the eve of the holiday. And they have a still picture of her making a groundhog face. Whoa.
So what?
And, of course, what just happened on May 12th.
That's not a series of things.
Put all those together.
That means you're drunky drunk?
You're a drunk. Well, I have a little more.
You know what? Whoever wrote that is drunk. More than half the workforce is drunk.
That's true.
We're going on a business drink tomorrow. We're not even faking it. We're not even having dinner. We're drinking.
Right. Isn't that funny?
What are we drinking? We're not getting together for a soda or a milkshake.
Salty Sue Simmons, who shocked Channel 4 viewers with a four-letter tirade, is famous for her liquid dinners between broadcasts.
This is new. I guess she's not famous for it.
I guess between 6 and 11. Well, famous to people on the inside. Simmons delivered a jaw-dropping F-bomb Monday as she read a teaser for 11 p.m. newscast, prompting an on-air apology. The incident didn't stun coworkers.
Fucking asshole.
A former NBC employee says Sue Simmons likes the sauce and she can be cranky about it.
Oh, a former employee.
Give me my sauce. Like spaghetti sauce? That's stupid. I'm getting cranks. Simmons anchors Channel 4's 5 p.m. newscast, okay, and then has time to pass until 11. Those hours are regularly spent at Midtown watering holes like Gallagher's Steakhouse and Jean George's.
Why didn't you tell us ahead of time before she dropped the F-bomb?
I wouldn't say she gets sloshed, says an employee at Gallagher's. Sloshed. That wouldn't be the right word. I would say she gets happy. She sits over there and gets very happy.
Wow, there goes your,
Is she a bad tipper?
Your customer, yeah, really.
Maybe she's a bad tipper. Fuck her. But otherwise...
I think people just see a camera in their face and they're like, I must tell you everything.
That's true.
I do. I really want to test that theory, but our cameras are so tiny that they just look like an average person's camera. I want to rent a real camera. Like, just, I'm
sure... A big,
sure,
bulky camera.
Our cameras are gorgeous.
Right.
You know, and they're really high-end cameras, but they just look like whatever cameras. I want to rent one that it looks like I work for some television station. I want to have a mic attached to it with a cord or whatever. You know what? I bet the microphone doesn't even have to be on. And I want to ask people the silliest, dumbest questions and see if they'll do it.
And then just drop the camera because it's a fake. I'd say that I wouldn't say she's a drunk, but I would say she likes to very, very drink. An employee at John George's at Columbus Circle said Simmons isn't shy about drinking with her meals and then heading back to work. She's been here and she's had drinks with her dinner, a John George's employee said. She's had a cocktail or two, yes, between shows, with dinner, sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's not a big deal, though.
She doesn't make the news, she reads it. Who cares? She's not the one who shot 50 cops, she just reported it. Or shot 50 times. The sometimes tipsy news anchor became an overnight web video sensation thanks to a tease she read for Monday's news. 28-year drunk veteran, famous for her goofball on-air behavior. She's been known to make funny faces, to feign sleep, to double over in laughter. Oh my goodness, kick her out. Simmons' publicist declined to comment on her behalf. And Simmons did not even return emails. She was probably too drunk to read them. An NBC spokeswoman declined to comment and said that she wouldn't discuss company policies about alcohol.
What are your company policies about alcohol?
Not discussing them.
Oh, I see.
Nice try. Several former Channel 4 employees who praised Simmons' offbeat personality said the anchor is famous for her sailor-like swearing. Simmons' meltdown was likened to...
You know, fame means that people know things.
She's famous on the inside. She's famous for that. Mm-hmm. Simmons' meltdown was likened to former Channel 2 reporter Arthur Chien, who was caught saying the F-bomb on live TV in 2005. I feel for her as someone who has gone down that path. Oh, I have that too. This is at a subway stop. You know how like reporters go out for no reason and they have to stand in front of what they are? If there's a story about a library, they go to the closest library. It doesn't even have to be the library they're commenting on. They right. just really have to show you. Like, you wouldn't understand what a library is.
See, unless they stand in front of it.
Yes. Yeah. I'm talking about books. Okay, dummy, here's what books look like. You know books. Okay, now I can tell my story about books. So they're doing a story about how in New York City, people stand in front of subway stops, and you pay a dollar, and they swipe you through. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They buy like 10 or so unlimited Metro cards.
Well, for those who don't know, the unlimited, you do have to wait 20 minutes before you swipe it again.
But they buy a lot.
Oh, I see. Nice, nice. And it's $2 to get into the train.
Right.
So if somebody has unlimited card, they already paid their entire thing, and you get a discount. You give them a dollar.
So you just pay them a dollar. They swipe it.
That's so dangerous to do right now because there's always undercover cops.
Yeah, they're pretty blatant about it.
Yeah.
If somebody's just standing there by the turnstiles, you know what they're doing. So anyway, this guy is outside, you know, before you go down the steps into the subway, telling the subway story, and you would only understand it if you see a subway behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Two dudes go behind him during the report. One has an Opie and Anthony sign for the radio show, and this guy starts doing the report and then all of a sudden just loses it and doesn't understand that just because you ended, like Sue Simmons, just because you ended the sentence doesn't mean you're done.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the
most. Let's hear it anyway.
The fuck are you doing?
All right, sorry about that. Here it is.
Ripping off the MTA.
It's a girl,
but
isn't it?
As of today, transit officials are cracking down on subway swipers. CBS 2's Arthur Chien working our top story live from Midtown. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. This is apparently a very simple crime to commit. All one has to do is buy multiple Metro cards, stand at the turnstile, and just continuously swipe people in all day. Police sources say these guys net a couple hundred dollars a day, and that's pure profit, but it's costing the TA a great deal, about $16 million a year, and they're trying to put a stop to it.
What the fuck is your problem?
What? He waits until his...
No, he doesn't wait. I didn't hear a wait.
Well, they're saying, like, open ante XM radio. And then he... But he waits until he's done. And then he thinks, as soon as I say a period, I'm done? What the fuck is your problem? I'm trying to work here.
Is this live?
It was live, yeah. It was live. And he just thought he was done because he said the sentence.
Can you play it again?
Yeah.
Ripping off the MTA. But as of today... Transit officials are cracking down on subway swipers. CBS 2's Arthur Chien working our top story live from Midtown. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. This is apparently a very simple crime to commit. All one has to do is buy multiple Metro cards, stand at the turnstile, and just continuously swipe people in all day. Police sources say these guys net a couple hundred dollars a day, and that's pure profit, but it's costing the TA a great deal, about $16 million a year, and they're trying to put a stop to it.
What the fuck is your problem?
And fired.
It really wasn't a breath at all.
He won some kind of case, and they ended up giving him a nice severance. No, he works somewhere else now. But he absolutely did get fired that day.
That sucks, though.
No, it doesn't suck.
You don't think it sucks?
Nope. No.
That's your job.
Well, you got to be out there. That's your job, to be in the street.
Well, it is his job. It's not like he said, hey, Bob, I think I need to take this to the street.
You don't own the street now. I don't care. I don't feel bad at all.
If you saw a news thingy, would you go behind them and say Keith and the girl?
Possibly I would, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Let's do
see
it.
See how easily I switch.
Yeah. All right. We invite you people to help us fire reporters. And then wonder why nobody's reporting on us.
I'm just going to go behind them and say, curse me out, curse me out. Curse me out, curse me out. Curse me out, curse me out.
We played the Bill O'Reilly clip yesterday, and I'm using this as my excuse to play it again. Tech Andrew, our buddy from Canada, understands... why Bill O'Reilly is such a fucking jackhole.
Take Andrew, who works doing the technical aspects of sound.
He's seen a lot of music concerts. He's seen a lot of regular shows. He says he understands why some kind of journalist can lose their temper over miswording or wording. Nothing was misworded. This guy's just a jag-off.
I think he just read it wrong and started flipping out. Once he started flipping out, he couldn't take it back.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but... Okay. Now, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready?
There's
okay,
no words.
Okay. Okay, ready?
Okay, ready, liar? There are words on it, and I can see them. You ready?
It's there. To play us out. What does that mean? To play us out.
Is this a real conversation we're going to have, Bill? Because I'll explain it to you.
Sting is going to do... It's a video. Sting video.
Okay, what is...
For credits.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
Can
he you... loses that first. Not loses it. He's the other guy, I mean. But he goes, yeah. Yes. Yes, little baby. I didn't mean to say yeah. I meant yes.
All right, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is that.
Okay, in.
I love how he has to talk like that. That's tomorrow, and.
Right.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a. I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
Much better. Play it is not the same.
Good job, professional. Here's what Tech Andrew wrote. Regarding the O'Reilly clip, okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. First of all, I have no love for the guy or Fox News. I've just been in these situations before. Not saying he should blow up, but just putting in some technical details. The floor director counting down is doing this at the producer's orders. Get the spot or else. Ignore the monkey's tantrums. Of course, we understand that. It is funny, we said, how you can easily control him. Motherfuck, this place sucks. Of course it does. 4-3-2. There you go. Good little boy. Did you see O'Reilly looking at his watch? He was either hurrying out of the building to do something else or about to get ready for live TV show in 5 to 10 minutes and wanted to prep his material. Production crew was probably sitting him down, blah, blah, blah. And I'll get to that part. He looked at his watch because he was looking like a jackass. I don't think he needed to be somewhere for the... And he was only working for Inside Edition at the time. And that's it. That's his job right there, to read what they're telling him to read.
Plus, actually, it doesn't matter what kind of schedule you're on because you didn't get this yet.
Right.
I don't.
Until you get it, we have to do it.
I don't know what clock you're looking at of the clock that we're not looking at, but as far as I know, and I'm not in the position of Tech Andrew,
right.
But no one's trying to stay there longer than they want to be.
Everybody else is enjoying Bill O'Reilly's company.
Yeah,
no.
Everything costs money, so I wouldn't want to be like, hey, just one more, could ya?
Happy hour's about to end. Or it's about to go into the more expensive rates on a cell phone for phone sex. I don't know. But there was nothing. Yeah, I used to do that. When I was a kid, I would look at my watch when I was embarrassed about something, because it gives you something to do, you know? I used to do this all the time. I remember saying this. I would go to the bathroom in a restaurant, and if I go the wrong way, and it does have to be in a restaurant, but I remember doing it sometimes in a restaurant, but it could be on the street or something, and I go the wrong way, and I feel like somebody, they don't even have to know me, would see me like, go, oh, fuck, I'm going the wrong way, and I'd go the other way. I would look at my watch, like all of a sudden there was a change of plans. I would end up in the kitchen at a restaurant and go, hey, you know what? According to the time, I'm not going to make my own food today. Let me go this way and just go to the bathroom instead. That's what he did. Except he's a fucking adult. And he went, everything's so, my watch. You just needed something to do.
I don't know why, but it is embarrassing when you're walking down the street and then you realize you're going the wrong way and you want to tell all the cars watching. Like, they're all watching you.
Right.
Not the light, not their kid in the backseat, whatever it is. They're all watching you. And they suddenly see you stop, turn around, go back, thinking, what an idiot.
It's also why
what does he want to go back for? He was just there.
And people like to swear out loud, too. They like to, they start going the wrong way, and then they go, ah, fuck. And yeah. They go the other way. That's not because they're going, oh, fuck. That's like to explain, I'm not a retard. I made a mistake. Fuck me. Oh, fuck. I just want you to know. Now, you're showing this temper tantrum in front of everybody you work with that you expect to respect you. And I've said this yesterday too. I can get it. I can get being a baby and being frustrated. And I'm me, Keith Malley, setting up a camera or this and that. And then, you know, something isn't clicked right. Then something else. And you just want to fucking go nuts. But other than Hemda, nobody would ever see it. What?
A couple of our guests have seen it.
Seen what? I punched a desk once.
Yeah, a couple times. I'm sure Matt for sure has seen it.
Have I done more than punch a desk?
No, you haven't yelled at anybody.
Right, I wouldn't yell at anybody.
No, you wouldn't yell at anybody, that's for sure. But people have definitely been startled and have to, like, look down for a second.
Ah, but they're pussies.
Even I did. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Like what? Like I'm an abuser?
No, it's just really weird. Like, we know you're going through a time, and then right. You just cursed, and you're usually so even keel that right. It's like, yikes.
Here's what I do. Something won't be working, right?
And I'll go. Make sure your mic is way away from you.
And
we'll
I'll just go.
You.
No, I'll just do this. That's all I'll do. I'll bang the desk
really.
Once.
There's that, but it comes out of nowhere because you don't show your frustration, and then that comes out of nowhere.
Okay.
And everyone like half jumps, and then we're like, okay, Keith's having a time. You'll also do this. Fuck!
I'll do that. Sure.
You'll do that.
Sure.
That's
but
a
I won't
alarm.
Go. Motherfuck it! And this button, like I know what's wrong. Am I Bill O'Reilly?
No, because. No, because you don't aim your anger at anything, and you don't do it often, and it seems like he would probably.
Did you see O'Reilly looking at his watch? He was either hurrying out of the building to do something else, or he's about to get ready for a live TV show in 5 to 10 minutes and wanted to prep his material. What was his material on Inside Edition? Wanted to prep his material. Production crew was probably sitting him down against his will to pre-record the ending for the show because he can't read script off of crappy teleprompters live. It's a teleprompter with words. What's it doing? That's crappy.
I don't know, but if they feel like they have to do it before, then that's what needs to be done, right? If it is a crappy teleprompter, then we have to do this, and everyone's time needs to be taken to do it.
He wings a lot of his material off the top of his head. Well, he is brilliant. The way he said, a cut off the new album. The way he said that.
Take it away.
So his prep is important. In this case, the prompter would have bullet points, not pre-written script. Notice he said, I'll rate it. He doesn't like saying other people's words. Sorry.
Then don't. Okay, all this stuff, even if he did have to go somewhere, even if all that stuff, you're actually not allowed to do that.
Right.
And as a human, you can't make other people feel like that. You can't go, I don't see anything, there are no words. Where clearly it says play it out. You're having a tantrum. You're being a two-year-old.
I'll bet the text wasn't loaded in the teleprompter fast enough for him. In-studio TV time is slow time. Hurry up and wait. It was on there. The words were on there the whole time. You could tell the words were on there the whole time.
Because then after he goes, because the guy wasn't going to go 4-3-2 again when he just said there's nothing on there.
Right.
After he goes, there's nothing there. Play it out. There's nothing there. And play it out were the words.
Right. Some anchors are good readers, but couldn't hold an intelligent interview if they tried. I know. Bill O'Reilly says a great fucking interview.
His interview, you remember yesterday on the thread, somebody put in more clips of him, and he just tells everybody to shut up?
Yes.
That's his way of arguing. Cut their mic. Shut up.
If he's interviewing anybody with any kind of intelligence that disagrees with him, Phil Donahue is a good one I saw recently. And Phil Donahue is smarter than his talk show was. His talk show was not as bad. It was like Jerry Springer, like Sally Jesse. He invented daytime talk like that. But he's a smart guy once he started getting political, and he just gets yelled at, like, shut up, I'm cutting off your mic. Bill O'Reilly is not a good interview at all. We've all spotted pre-recorded spots dropped into live TV. They just don't look or sound right. In this case, you wouldn't have noticed much because it would have been played to air right after the last ads before sign off to next show. They were so rushed for time and unprepared that no one had explained what the fuck he was doing. I feel sorry for the bastard.
Now, you know what it is? Tech is such a nice guy that he always has to see the opposite side.
But to see the side and of also, that, Tech would never act like that in a million
years.
I was just going to say that.
I cannot imagine, no matter how mad anybody Tech is working with, that he would blow his lid like that ever. Ever. He is so nice and calm.
They were rushed for... Then get it right. And unprepared. They weren't unprepared. Here's what you say, monkey. And he would have said that this is unnatural for him to read the teleprompter. It's just he didn't know what play it out means. Mm-hmm. He could have taken a second, too, to look at it and then go, okay, I read it. I'm ready.
Or
you
want to
do
like,
it on the fly? Then fucking do it.
I'd be like, oh, my bad. I didn't see that. I didn't understand that. Let's
right.
do it again.
That's the problems with these clips getting out into the wild. Out of context, they look horrible. What the fuck was out of context? Remember how Broly used bitch and motherfucker to get the Cocoa Puffs ad right? They all knew it could get edited out. Happens all the time for pre-recorded shows. I hear the swearing version of the ad every time. It cracks me up. He did it, like, to be funny. You know? He went, chocolate cereal, bitch. He wasn't calling the producers bitch and motherfucker. Big difference. Big difference.
Also, they kept that take, which means... He did it right. He just added something.
Right.
It's not like Bill O'Reilly was like, play it out, motherfucker.
This is a child that should be embarrassed and his family should be embarrassed.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on the teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but... Okay. Now, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay.
There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean? To play us out.
See, he said there's no words to play us out.
Right.
Sting is going to do, it's a video. Sting video.
Okay. What is...
For credits.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
Because you know why?
It's... Okay, so from now on, he knows. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, so now just say to play us out. Now you can't say it. I just can't say it. It's just not my words. Then calm down.
All right, go, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is a...
Okay, in.
I'm going to do... And then he takes that breath, like, I'm going to do my best on this bullshit, but there's got to be somebody out up there in Canada that understands what I'm going through, because this is bullshit. This is bullshit! Fine, I'll do it. Go, 3, 2. Hello, thank you.
5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
Oh, you know what? After hearing it again, I stand corrected. I'm on tech side.
Fucking thing sucks!
It fucking sucks. Somebody wrote it down in 2 seconds.
4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
Now that's how it's fucking done!
Oh, no.
I better have writing credit. That's how it's fucking done! Brianne from Canada. A writer here did a test with the teleprompter. He wrote on the script, and thank you for watching. Good night. My name is Donald Duck. And it was red, and the anchor didn't notice. Why would you do that as a joke to somebody on air? It doesn't matter if it's April Fool's Day.
Yeah, that's not fair.
You're just proving they're fucking idiots. And it could be a last-minute news thing, too, you know? That maybe you do have to. But all it shows is that they're a fucking idiot.
Well,
especially when they didn't notice.
I don't know that it shows that they're fucking idiots. I think it just shows that they give a fuck.
My name is Donald Duck.
Whatever, I'm just
I would
reading.
Recognize. I would read it and then recognize, but this person didn't recognize.
I'm just thinking that they're calling in their job every day.
Okay, right.
That doesn't mean you're dumb.
So why would you trick somebody? Why would you trick somebody like
you
that?
You probably hate them, and you know you can get away with it.
The producer
or you're on your
did
way
it.
Out.
The producer did it as a joke.
Whoever did it thought that they were cute,
but not to hurt them. Do you know what I mean? Like they all giggled about it.
You think so?
Yeah, I do think so. They said the. Yeah,
I would think that
so.
Was mean.
It is mean, because now when you go, the most trusted news team, you're like, really, the most trusted news team? We go out there and read shit like a monkey? The backlash has begun against Barbara Walters for admitting in her autobiography, Audition, to an adulterous affair 30 years ago with Edward Brooke, the then-married Massachusetts senator, while she was simultaneously seeing Alan Ace Greenberg, who became chairman of Bear Stearns.
Ooh, feisty.
This girl was banging all the nice ones. Barbara Walters is a shameless media whore, says Mark Dice, spokesman for conservative media watchdog group The Resistance. Barbara has now sunk to the very level of other attention-starved celebrities such as Paris Hilton and Steve-O from Jackass.
Why is he so offended by this?
Because she's a fucking whore. I understand why he could be offended by it. I understand that...
Is he involved somehow?
I saw Barbara Walters on Oprah Winfrey, and they're giggling like, hi, you did. You did have an affair. One time ago, that vagina wasn't all sandy. Hee-hee-hee-hee. Meanwhile, Barbara Walters grilled fucking Monica Lewinsky for having an affair.
Mm.
It's hypocritical. Maybe if Monica Lewinsky was 80, we could all laugh about it and go, good for you, girl. But she's an old bag. Barbara Walters is an old bag. Ah, good for you. You had an affair with the senator.
You think she's writing it as a good for me thing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, she's writing it as, like, I need shit to write a book. An editor said, all right, I need dirt.
You're not getting your advance.
That's how these meetings, we know how they happen. That's what happened. Like, what dirt do you have for your book? Did you have an affair? I did. Was he married? Yes. Okay. He was a senator. Okay! Why don't you say that?
Now let's go and have drinks.
Yeah, now let's have drinks and talk about what we just talked about. A judge in Halifax, Nova Scotia, ordered a homeless man to undergo psychiatric evaluation after the vagrant dropped his pants in court and asked the judge to perform oral sex on him. Yeah.
I don't know. I could see a not crazy person doing that.
Hello, homeless person. You seem to have some kind of sex problem. 1 second, Your Honor. Can you suck me off? He's a 40-year-old man, and he was there for sex assault charges. In England, a criminal who escaped from a jail turned himself in after 3 days because he found life easier on the inside. He's 42. He was serving 12 years for robbery, and he enjoys a better inside with 3 square meals, a TV in his room, and access to a pool table, a ping pong table,
wow.
And a gym.
Oh, man, he just made it sound so good.
Yeah.
Doesn't that remind you of the movie Always, Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah.
Always.
Nobody
he got, what's it called? Institutionalized, mm-hmm. Which means you don't know how to live on the outside anymore.
Nobody did make much of a fuss. He was right. Michael Moore's doing a sequel to Fahrenheit 9/11.
Ooh, is it to rebut?
No, it'd be far too late to rebut the rebutters.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. No, he's going to act like it was all true. Moore, who won the top honor at the 2004 Cannes Film Festival for Fahrenheit 9/11, plans a follow-up to resume his examination of the nation's status and the world in the year since the September 11th attacks. I found the movie jaw-dropping. I was extremely surprised that that movie didn't stop George Bush from being reelected. But apparently there are smarter people out there than me, believe it or not, and they could tell the bullshit in the movie. To see that movie and believe it and still vote for George Bush is shocking. But apparently people were smarter and they realized, okay, you're exaggerating facts. Liar. It's a liar, and now I'm smarter, and now I did do my research. I'm a little wiser, and I will not be able to go into this movie and not think, really, liar?
Are you going to see this new movie?
I'll see it, but I'm seeing it like I'm watching a third-rate horror movie. I'm seeing it because I'm curious, but in no way will it change me at all. If anything, I'll go the opposite route. I don't know. Of whatever it's fucking trying to say. Fahrenheit 9/11, the only documentary ever to top $100 million domestically, was a harsh, hilarious critique on George W. Bush during the wake of the attacks. The as-yet-untitled follow-up will have a longer-term approach, film executives say. The movie was about a moment in time, a specific moment. We don't view this movie, this new one, as bashing anyone. I think it's going to take a look at where America is right now in relation to the world. It's not going to be about the issue of the war. It's about where we are and what our role is.
So why is it a sequel to the 9/11 one? Is it just holding on to the name?
And it's not going to be about the war?
So Jizzle says, doesn't there need to be another terrorist attack before that happens?
Maybe he knows things. He does research, remember? Danny Ross, the chief operating officer at Overture, said the movie will be scheduled for release domestically in spring of 2009, soon after the changing of the guard when Bush leaves office. Overture will release the film in the United States while Paramount Vantage is handling overseas distribution. They're going to shop around the film starting Wednesday. So is it done then? Is the film done? I looked it up. It didn't seem to be in post-production or anything.
Did they just find more footage, or did they go out and get a new thing? I think he's just using the 9/11 thing because the first one was so popular.
Fahrenheit 9/12. I'm just going to go in there like, really, liar? Really, liar?
And that's a shame.
It's a shame that he did that, yes.
Yeah.
Idiot. I still, if you're into that movie, I recommend the movie Fahrenheit 9/11. Pretty eye-opening. Even if they exaggerate, you see where the other dude lied. There's going to be a Point Break sequel. That I'm more excited about. And that can change the way we live.
Is this like 2 years ago or something? 20 years ago?
17 years ago.
That's insane.
17 years after Point Break washed up in movie theaters, surfs up for the sequel Point Break Indo, which Jean DeBont will direct. RGM Entertainment and blah, blah, blah Entertainment will exec produce this Asia-based follow-up to director Catherine Bigelow's original, which starred DeBont's speed lead, Keanu Reeves, as an FBI agent, casing a gang of surfer bank robbers. I think it's funny how people act like this movie's a joke. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was a very good movie.
The original?
Yeah.
I liked it, but I'm never super proud that I liked it.
They act like it's...
I thought people like you would hate it.
They make... Comedians like to make fun of it. There's a...
Because Keanu Reeves talks funny. He goes, I am an FBI agent.
That's how he always talks.
It's funny.
Why that movie, though?
That's funny.
They act like the movie is...
Because he says things he like, wouldn't be an I'm FBI an agent? FBI agent.
He's always
he
a cop.
He talks like that. It's funny.
He's a cop in every movie.
I am an FBI agent.
I don't get it. I think that's a documentary as far as I'm concerned. That's the one people should care about. And to make fun of it like it's... what's that horror movie?
The horror movie?
The one everybody watches ironically. With the girl from Saved by the Bell.
They act where she's topless and she's a dancer?
Yes. They act like it's that movie.
That movie is insane.
It was a good movie. The new film will take place 20 years after the disappearance of one of the criminal surfers, Patrick Swayze.
So then it's a new...
It's
going to
be a whole new cast.
It's got to be.
Patrick Swayze has cancer. Keanu Reeves isn't going to do it.
Your friend is in there, Busey, right? He was his partner.
Gary Busey was in it. I hope he's in it.
No way.
I would go to a live theater if Gary Busey did a one-man show of Point Break. That I can see doing. Both the original and the sequel are written by the same person. Plot details and possible character reprises have not been disclosed. The film will shoot in Singapore and Southeast Asia.
Johnny says it's just in time for Patrick Swayze's death.
I bet this time he gets killed by a stingray.
And the movie you're looking for is Showgirls.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a 21 Jump Street movie as well.
Oh, man. Why do I want to turn that into a Keith and the Girl event?
Jonah Hill, the fat kid in Superbad, is the one doing it.
What?
Jonah Hill and Judd Apatow, he's the one that directed Superbad, are in negotiations to develop a movie adaptation of the popular 80s TV show starring Johnny Depp.
He can't be the lead. It was like really good-looking people.
He doesn't have to be a lead. He's the producer.
Oh, the guy from Superbad is the producer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't been decided whether he will actually star in the movie, but Sony confirms that he'll work on a screenplay and serve as executive producer. The series ran from 87 to 91.
Do you really think that this has any... I don't know. It was such an 80s thing, wasn't it?
You know,
it was such an 80s thing.
If anything else does, right? Do these movies do good enough? Dukes of Hazzard, all that shit?
Dukes of Hazzard is a different thing. Dukes of Hazzard
is... What's different?
Just, 21 Jump Street was really cheesy, very 80s. And Dukes of... It was great. I loved it.
Miami Vice.
Miami
they
Vice.
Really just take
was it
the
really
title.
Brought back as for real, or was that a joke?
No, it was for real.
And they didn't make a joke of it?
No.
Because that's hilarious.
I didn't see the movie, but I know it wasn't a joke. It's Jamie Foxx and Colin Farrell, and they took it serious.
Dukes of Hazzard, I can totally see. But I didn't see it, because dummies in there, so I think they didn't take it seriously.
I tried to watch Dukes of Hazzard. I couldn't do it. I wasn't unable.
I just didn't think they would relate it well.
Sony declined to give any more details. They did say Keith Malley trained to do this role his whole life.
Oh, you should so be in it. That'd be so great.
But it's probably safe to say that this new version won't be featuring any earnest public service announcements, as the series often did.
I remember that. Aw.
You know, I remember one show of 21 Jump Street where Johnny Depp did drugs to infiltrate a drug ring. And then at the end of it, they go... They catch him, you know, and they go, by the way, you did cocaine. We saw you do drugs, so you're in trouble too. And he goes, no, I'm trained to make it look like that. The end. I'm like, oh, were you trained? Because I saw you too at home. I saw they took the coke from the coke bag.
You think it was just because kids are watching?
Yeah, they just said...
They also wanted to tie it in where he doesn't go to jail.
But they didn't have a way to figure out a smart way for him to do coke at a coke den. So, like, just have him do the coke and then act like he was a magician. That we don't even have to explain any sleight of hand.
I just remember Richard Grieco. He was the one with the eyebrows, right? That's his name?
Yeah.
I remember him coming in and I'm like, no.
You didn't like him?
No, because...
I always thought he was the cool one, and
no.
He had his own spinoff, Booker, and I watched it religiously.
I remember that. No, but I thought Johnny Depp was the coolest thing in the world, and he's just a wannabe Johnny Depp, and he could never be. And he tweezed his eyebrows back in the day when nobody tweezed their eyebrows.
His whole face is weird.
So weird.
Remember the fat guy? He was like the funny one. Peter DeLuise, I think
yeah.
Is his name. DeLuise kid.
Yeah, and I thought the girl was really cheesy. You remember the girl?
Holly
yeah,
Pete or
yeah.
Something like
Holly
that?
Holly something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She had three names. I remember that.
I thought she was cheesy.
I hope.
I thought she was cheesy. They always set her up to like where she had to hit on someone. Right. And I was like, that worked.
I hope the movie centers around a high school kid. You know, obviously they're not in high school, but that has to solve crimes in the school, but still figure out how to date chicks. And then when he's able to date chicks, right before he fucks, he says, no, I can't. I'm religious.
Aww.
I hope that's in the movie.
I think if they turn your book into a screenplay, it might be.
So we'll see.
Fooey says, when are they going to make the Alf the feature movie? That I could see being
big. They will.
Big.
They did Garfield. They're doing everything.
Alf,
they have no thought.
Alf I would watch more than Garfield. Garfield's stupid.
Okay.
Okay, Alf was really dumb too, but
you know what? I liked
like a
Alf
memory thing.
I like Alf at the time, but to look back on Alf, I get it. You're going to eat the cat.
And I get it. You're like a cheesy, dumb voice of the, I don't know.
Right.
That cartoon kind of makes fun of that. Oh, man, what is it? Something Dad. You watch it a lot.
Family Guy?
Is it Family Guy or is it the other one where they have an alien in their...
American Dad.
Yeah, American Dad. I don't know. Now I'm thinking maybe it had something Alfie or I don't know.
Okay, then. Okay, then.
And a complete thought by Chemda. Thank you very much, everybody.
Good to see you're better. For those not following the 21 Jump Street thing, though, I was a kid in high school, and I would tell chicks that I was like a 21 Jump Street person, that I was a detective.
An undercover cop.
I had to solve crime. And as I'm talking to a girl, and I was bad at talking to girls, that might be my excuse to stop the conversation and sprint down the hallway at school as fast as I could.
It's so dorky.
And solve some crime and then see her later. And I'm sure I splashed water on my face and I was breathing heavy. Don't worry, the school's safe today, honey.
Or you could do what What's-His-Face does and just look at your watch and say you gotta go.
And for those thinking, oh, what a fucking idiot, it worked. It worked. And then right before fucking, I decided not to because I thought I'd go to hell. I'd like to tell my dad that story. Get him on my side again.
You know what? You're the only one with a high school experience that, like, people wanted to fuck you and you were like, no.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, usually they're like, oh, damn, I got to first base. I got to second. She almost let me, blah, blah, blah. This one's going, they were on me, but I'm just, I don't know.
It's a weird high school. Those were the days. It's very weird.
Yes.
I was a freak. I would like to apologize to every chick I ever went to high school with.
Do over. Let me fuck you.
Sorry about that. Took a chick to the prom. I didn't have the cojones. She was following me. We went to an after party. She's hanging on me. She's into me. I didn't even ask her to dance. She asked me to dance. I danced once. I think I was third in, like, the prom court. So I knew, like, you know, that was attractive to her. I could have stopped with her, and I didn't. I was just a weird pussy.
No, that's what happens when you show religion in people's face.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, by then you didn't even have your blowjob, right?
Correct. I didn't, yeah.
Oh, well, we're all crying.
That's sad.
Very sad.
I wasted it. That's the first thing. What would you do if you can go back and do it all over again? Fuck them. I would fuck them. That's what I would do. All right. Let's get out of here, because Henda's not sick. And she will not lay down and not have soup.
Shut your face.
Any announcements? Anything to say?
I am not sick. If I was sick, there wouldn't be a show.
Well, very good point.
To be sick is for the weak.
I don't think by doing
a show. I refuse.
I don't think we taught you a lesson by doing a show today.
That's right. That's right. We did one yesterday, and we did one today.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com.